Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Amen. I'm really glad that you're here today. I invite you to turn with me in your Bible to the Old Testament, to Ezekiel chapter 22. You can turn on your phones if you read your Bible off your phone. If you didn't bring a Bible this morning, there should be one in the row in front of you. Ezekiel 22 is going to be on page 710. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we're finished this morning. I'll give you a brand new one to call your own. And don't give that as a Father's Day present, okay? You got to do something better. But if your dad didn't have a Bible, I mean, hey, that's not a bad place to start. Ezekiel 22, page 710. On this Father's Day, I want to show our men, our fathers, a verse that's been just a challenging encouragement to be the kind of man, the kind of father that God desires for me to be, for us to be. Ezekiel 22, verse 30, I just want to look at one verse. It's a verse that's really worth committing to memory, and it's a target verse to shoot at with your life. Men, dad, granddad. Look with me at what Ezekiel 22 verse 30 says, because in this passage, the Lord, He's surveying the land. He's surveying the land. He's looking for a particular kind of man. And it says in Ezekiel 22 verse 30, "And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach," or stand in the gap, "before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." That's the word of the Lord. See, the Lord in this passage, He was looking. He was looking for good men. He was looking for good fathers, faithful men of God who could stand in the gap. Stand in the gap, stand strong, and fight for all that's right, all that's good, all that's godly. But in the day that this passage is referring to, the day this passage was written, there wasn't that kind of a man, that kind of a good man, that kind of a good father that apparently could be found. But when I look around today and I look throughout our congregation, I do see some good men. I do see some good fathers. I do see some good granddads, some men who are standing in the gap in ways that I do believe honors the Lord and blesses their family and blesses their spouses and blesses their kids. Men whom God is pleased with in so many ways as He looks at your lives. And are these perfect men? Are these perfect fathers? Oh, no. Does each one of us have room for improvement? Yes. Room for growth? Yes. But I do think that the Lord is pleased with many, many of our men and our fathers who are here. I know I sure am. Kids, draw some artwork this morning. Draw a card for your dad this morning. You may have already given your dad a card, and that's great. But would you draw this morning something for your dad? Something that just tells your dad how much you love him. Something that encourages your dad. Maybe it's you and your dad just holding hands. I don't know. Or maybe it's a picture of your dad with big muscles or a big belly. Something that it would encourage your dad. Because can I tell you something, kids? All dads need encouragement. All men need to be encouraged by the ones who love him and that he loves. Draw a picture that will encourage your dad today. And in our time remaining, I want to encourage us all from God's word. I want to show several places from the Bible of what a good man and what a good father looks like. I encourage you to write down these various addresses. Don't try to flip back and forth. We were going to have them on the screens, but significant issues. And we've already said, everybody in here has what? Significant? All right, we've all got significant issues. So jot these verses down that I'm going to share with you today. I'll read them slowly and just let the Word of God wash over you. Let it wash your mind. Let it sink into your heart. And we'll talk about several different attributes, several different characteristics of good men and good fathers. I'll just tell you up front, I'm indebted to a guy named Jerry Shirley for this message. It was so powerful when it washed over me. I want to share his words with you. It's just some powerful things that I think we all can hold on to on this Father's Day. And if you desire to be a good father, you need to know that there are some prerequisites. There are some prerequisites to being a good father, to being the kind of father that God wants you to be. And one of the prerequisites is this. You've got to start off by being a good man. Not going to be a good father if you're not a good man. You just can't do that. Some prerequisites to being a good man are functioning as a man, taking responsibility as a man, thinking like a man, acting like a man, working like a man. All of these are prerequisites to being a good man. And you will not be a good father until you are a good man. You will not be a good father until you are a good man. You might want to just jot that down. Think about that this week. Being a good man, being a good father, really, it's becoming a dying art in some respects. There may not be as many in our nation today as there have been in days gone by. I do thank God that we do have some good men that we can always use a few more. And I'm grateful that many here at Arapahoe Road would fall into that category of good men and good fathers. And one way for most men to improve is to work on becoming better at their communication. Ladies, can I get an amen? That's not a trick question. We need some help. Can I get an amen from our ladies that we can do better as men in communicating? Yes? Yes, there you go. You may have noticed that my beautiful bride is not with us today. She is at home. She woke up yesterday with a brutal fever and is hopefully on the mend. And so I'm going to just share some things with you today since she's not here, okay? Don't tell her I'm telling you this, but the men's thesaurus may be helpful in translating man talk. Men don't always say what they mean. Ladies, please allow me to translate for your future benefit. Again, don't tell my wife I'm telling you this, okay? I don't want her in on this secret, but I'm just going to let you know because I'm pastoring you right now, okay? See, when a man says it would take too long to explain, what he means is, I have no idea how that works. See, whenever we're driving down the road and somebody has car trouble and they're standing on the side of the road with the hood up, you ever seen that? You know what my dad always said when we're driving by? He thinks he knows what he's looking for. But he doesn't know. He just knows you gotta raise the hood. Something may be, maybe there's a squirrel or something. I don't know. When a man says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard. What he means is, I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner. When a man says, that's interesting, dear. What he means is, are you still talking? I'm just telling you. I'm letting you in, because it's confession time here. When a man says, can I help with dinner? What he means is, it's not ready yet? Can I buy it? That's what he means. When a man says, sure, honey, or yes, dear, he means absolutely nothing. It's just a conditioned response. Yes, dear. When a man says, oh, don't fuss, I just cut myself, it's no big deal. What he really means is, I've probably severed a limb, but I will bleed to death before I admit that I'm hurt. Come help me, please. When a man says, I can't find it, what he means is, it has not fallen into my outstretched arm and hand. So I'm completely clueless. When a man said, I heard you. What he means is, I haven't the foggiest idea what you just said, but I'm hoping desperately that I can fake it long enough that you'll not spend the next 3 days yelling at me. And when a man says, you look terrific, what he really means is, oh, please don't try on one more outfit. We're late and I'm getting so hungry. And when a man says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where I am, what he really means is nobody's ever going to see us alive again. Last but not least, when a man says, I don't remember saying that, it's because he means anything I may have said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument, and in fact, all comments become null and void after 7 days. So hopefully that's helpful to you, and we do thank God for good men that are here today. And in the passages in the Bible, God has a whole lot to say about different characteristics of good men. As we look through the pages of the Bible, we begin to see that good men are those who lean, L-E-A-N, those who lead, L-E-A-D, and those who love, L-O-V-E. You might just want to jot those three words down, three characteristics of good men and good fathers, men who lean, lead, and love. Say that with me, lean, lead, and love. Let's talk about each one of those for the few minutes that we have left together. First off, good men and good fathers are men who have learned to lean on the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Jot that down. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Those two verses go so against the grain of what we as men normally do. We tend to lean into our own understanding, lean into our own experiences, lean into our own preferences because we want to be in control. And what the writer of Proverbs is leading a good man to do is lean into the Lord. Why? Because the Lord knows best. Because the Lord's motives are always pure. Mine aren't. But you're our pastor. I know. You called a sinner. Sorry. Significant issues. Just like you. No perfect churches because there's no perfect people besides Jesus. Thankfully, He's the head of the church. The Lord knows best. The Lord's motives are always pure. The Lord always has the best intentions at the center of all the outcomes in every scenario that we could ever possibly face. Even at Baylor. Bad time to lean on your own understanding if you're a bear. Great time to lean on the Lord. It's always a great time to lean on the Lord. You know, what are you talking about, lean on the Lord? Any men in here baseball fans? I'm a huge baseball fan. Love seeing the first two games of the Rangers-St. Louis series go the way it should. Doesn't take away the sting from a few years ago, but it helps. I love baseball. I've watched a million games. And you know, I've never once seen a manager walk to the mound to talk with the pitcher and the pitcher say, well, you know, coach, you probably better take me out. I just don't think I'm as good as the hitters today. I don't think I've really got it today. I think the ump's squeezing my strike zone a little bit here. So you probably just ought to take me out. Besides, this guy that's coming up, he's really probably a better hitter than I am a pitcher. And that guy that's out in the bullpen, he's probably got a fresher arm than me. Why don't you take me out, coach? Never seen that. No, the pitcher's always trying to make his case for why he should stay in and why, man, I can do this. And what's he doing? He's leaning on his own ability. He's leaning on his own understanding. But the manager has a greater understanding of what's unfolding and the matchups that are coming and the pitch count and what it looks like for this pitcher to come in and face this batter and left lefty-lefty and all this. See, the manager's thinking with greater understanding than the pitcher's thinking. He's leaning on his own understanding. When it comes to life, God's saying, I want you to lean on me like your manager in a baseball game, because I've got better understanding. I've got better knowledge. I understand more than what you're understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. And men who learn to lean on the Lord are men who are learning to become great. You're learning to become great. Good men don't only lean on the Lord for understanding, but also good men lean on the Lord for salvation. You might want to jot that down. Lean on the Lord for salvation. For salvation. Jot this down. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Listen to what it says. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's talking about salvation. It's not your own doing. It's the gift of God. It's not a result of works so that no one may boast. If you want salvation, you can't earn it. You can't work hard enough. You can't give enough money. You can't grow up in the right family. You can't do enough good deeds. You can't run for public office enough. You got to lean on somebody outside of yourself for salvation, and it's the Lord. Now, sometimes ladies find it easier to rest in the Lord, to lean on Him for salvation. It's part of many women's nature to place themselves in someone else's hands. It's not usually that way for men. Men, please hear me on this. You cannot save yourself. At some point, you've got to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and reach up to Him for your salvation. Jesus speaks into this dilemma. Jot this down. Matthew 18, verse 3. I thought about this verse yesterday. I'll tell you why in a second. Matthew 18, verse 3. I referenced it earlier. Jesus says, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I thought about that verse yesterday at 9:45 a.m. at the B&B Theaters in Wiley, with my kids sitting beside me getting ready to watch Finding Dory. There were about 12 adults and 92 kids. And Jesus says, you want to approach me, you want to come, you want to enter the kingdom. It's like going to watch Finding Dory on day two of its release on a Saturday at the 9:45 showing. That's the kingdom. When they see Dory, it's, hey, Dory! When Dory's lost, oh! No adults in there were doing that. It was the kids. Wouldn't it be great if our worship was like that? There's not a first grader that walked in here today and went, well, we've got significant issues with the technology. But I saw him going, good, good Father. Become like children, or you'll never enter the kingdom. See, children have that attitude of trust, even little boys. But something happens to those little boys when they begin to feel the slightest amount of thickness in their peach fuzz. See, when we start feeling that peach fuzz, we begin to think we know what's best and know how to control our own destiny, even our eternal destiny at times. But the good men, the great men, at some point understand that when it comes to salvation, I must lean solely in on my good, good Father in heaven. And not only do the good men learn to lean on the Lord for their understanding and for their salvation, but also good men have learned to lean on the Lord for their strength. Write that down. Lean on the Lord for their strength. One of my grandmother's favorite passages of scripture and verses in scripture is Isaiah chapter 40. Jot that down. Isaiah 40 verses 30 and 31 says this: even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their what? Their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What does it look like for a man to wait on the Lord and lean into the Lord for strength? I think it means that they begin to recognize that you can't be who you need to be without help, without the strength that comes from something or somebody outside of yourself. I think it means that you begin to then acknowledge that you need the Lord to be this kind of man for your wife, for your kids, that you need to be. I think it means that before you barrage into your day and start your day, you choose to slip in some quiet moments alone with the Lord. I read a great article this morning on the Fox News website. And I look at all the different kinds of news websites, but this one on Fox said that one of the things that this one particular mom and wife loved about her husband is that he was gone before the day started. And that's not what she loved about him. It was that every morning she came down and saw an empty coffee mug, a Bible, and this book open that talked about praying for his kids. And he was gone to work, but he carved out some quiet moments alone with the Lord to begin his day in prayer and telling the Lord, "Lord, I need you. I need your strength." You lift up daily by name your wife, your kids, your responsibilities that you think you're going to shoulder today, and you ask the Lord to give you all you need to be who you need to be for them and for everybody else and all the things that are on your plate, and you create that space in the morning, and you just begin leaning into the Lord, going, "Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you for your understanding, for my salvation, and for my strength." It also results in leaning on the Lord for some sound wisdom. Jot that down. Good men have learned to lean on the Lord for sound wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5. Jot that down. James 1 5 says this: if any of you lacks wisdom, raise your hand if you lack wisdom. That's everybody in here. Go ahead. Men, women alike. It's just me. I'm the only one that lacks wisdom. What are you following me for? No, we're all in this. Man, if any of you lacks wisdom, Scripture says, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Do you know that that's one of only two prayers that a man can pray that the answer is always yes? Lord, would you give me wisdom? Yes. You know what the other one is? Lord, would you save me? You know what the answer always is? Yes. Romans 10:13, all who call on the name of the Lord will be what? They'll be saved. Yes, I'll save you. Yes, I'll give you wisdom. And I thank God for a few good men who've learned and who are learning to lean on the Lord for understanding, for salvation, for strength, and for sound wisdom. Next, I thank God for a few good men who've learned to lead. A few good men who've learned to lead. Let me talk about that for a minute. When it comes to leading, there are multiple ways that good men must learn to lead. One way is that we must become men who have learned to lead our flesh. We must become men who learn to lead our flesh. If we don't learn to lead our flesh, men, our flesh will lead us. we don't learn to lead our flesh will lead us. Look what Paul wrote to the church at Galatia in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. Jot that down. Galatians 5, G-A-L, 5, 16 and 17. Paul writes this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." You ever feel like, man, I really want to do that, but then something feels like it's pulling the opposite direction? Yeah, you're normal. You're human. I think if you sat and you talked with most men who want to be good men, who want to be good fathers, and the majority would say, yes, I want to be that kind of man for my wife and for my kids, a man that they're proud of. Yes, I want to be that kind of man who sacrifices for my family, who's instilling good values to my family, who leads my wife well, who leads my kids the way God would have me to do that, that it's growing a strong family. But man, there's so many distractions in my life. All throughout the day, it seems like I'm just a click away. There's something there that's just screaming for my attention. It's not going to lead me in that direction. What is that something? That something's your flesh. It's waging war against the Spirit. And if the sin that you're struggling with weren't so enjoyable, weren't so fun, didn't give you that quick burst of a good feeling, you know what? You wouldn't do it. If sin tasted like broccoli, nobody'd do it. But it doesn't. It tastes like sweet tarts. And I just cranked down a whole thing of sweet tarts about 4 minutes driving back. Why? Because they're good. Well, maybe just one more. Next thing I know, I've got a whole wrapper down there of sweet tarts gone. You want something to think about? Maybe you heard this before. Take your phones out. Record this. Got your phone out? Ready? No? Okay, we'll give you 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Something my youth minister taught me a long time ago. Sin takes you farther than you intended to go. Sin keeps you longer than you intended to stay. And sin costs you more than you intended to pay. Let me say that again. Sin takes you farther than you intended to go. Sin keeps you longer than you intended to stay. And sin costs you more than you intended to pay. And so if we're going to lead our flesh, we must have good accountability in our lives. We must be transparent with our spouses, with our friends, with our bosses, with our kids. We can't have secrets. We've got to live openly and honestly before our families and before others with whom we are accountable to. And if we do that, we will be leading our flesh rather than our flesh leading us. And men, we must not only lead our flesh, our own lives, but also good men must learn to lead their families. Good men must learn to lead their families. Ephesians 5, verse 23. I'm going to talk about a second verse here from Ephesians 5 in a second, but let me start in verse 23. Paul's writing again. He says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." Headship. Headship isn't being the big boss. It's about leading in the loving relationship. God's no respecter of persons. Women are equal in His sight. The Bible talks about the woman as the weaker vessel. That's not an insult. Rather, it's a compliment. It's intended as a compliment. That means she's less valuable. Rather, she's more fragile, delicate. In need of some strong yet loving leadership. Think of it like this. Women are like fine silk. Men are like corduroy. Silk, corduroy. Have you heard the news about the corduroy pillows? They're making headlines. Headlines, corduroy. Silk and corduroy, which one's more fragile? Silk. Which is more valuable? Silk. Answer to both is silk. In God's wisdom, He's given each family a head. Anything with two heads is a monster. But it's not a privilege as much as it is a responsibility, man. And the hardest thing you'll ever do will be a good husband and a good father to your wife and to your kids. It's a hard responsibility to accomplish well. I mean, men all throughout Scripture had difficulty doing it. They got a lot of ink in the Scriptures. Men like Eli. Eli could run the temple, but he couldn't run his own family in 1 Samuel 3. Anybody ever heard of a guy named King David? King David could run a kingdom. He could lead men into battle, but he couldn't run his own children. Talks about it in 1 Kings 1, verses 5 and 6. And we must become good men who lead our flesh and who lead our families. And I thank God for the few good men who have learned and are learning to lead, who are learning to lead, lean and lead. And I thank God for a few good men, finally, who are learning to love. Good men learn how to love the Lord. Look again at what Jesus said, Matthew 22, 37. Jot that down. Matthew 22, 37, great memory verse. Jesus talks about loving the Lord, and He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. What that means is with everything that's within you from head to toe, you love God. Everything you do in your life, all day long, all week long, no matter what it is, you do it, you work at it, you say it, you demonstrate it in such a way that it shows your love for the Lord. In a very real sense, all of who you are is meant to love the Lord in all that you do. And in all that you say, your whole life has been created and intended to be an act of worship as you love the Lord. And a good man loves the Lord from head to toe with everything that's within him. And good men learn how to love their families. Good men learn how to love their families. We covered this under leadership a little bit. You go, how do we do that? Well, when we said that the only real leadership is loving leadership. And further, God expects every man to love your wife. Yeah, that seems like a strange expectation. I mean, why would God state that? Some will say, if I didn't love her, I wouldn't have married her in the first place. Well, wait a minute. Love, as used in the Scriptures, used here, means more than just affection. It means more than just an emotional feeling or a satisfaction. It means that you or I are going to seek the welfare, the happiness of that person that we're committing and covenanting to love and to lead them in a loving way. And that means that my efforts will be to make the object of my love happy and secure and comfortable and lead that person well. And this expectation just goes far beyond just telling the husband to love his wife as long as she's beautiful or lovely or whatever. But it also means that good men have learned how to love sacrificially. Sacrificially. We'll wrap up with this one. Jot this down. Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25. Paul writes, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The passage reminds us that Jesus laid down his life for the church. He sacrificed himself because his love and his devotion and his commitment was so great. And men, if you want to be a great dad, then you have to be like Jesus on this one. And love your wife and love your kids with a deep sacrificial love. That means their needs get met before your needs get met. That means your golf game gets sacrificed so that you can go to their game. That means everybody else in the house gets new shoes before you get new shoes. And I've seen some dads wearing the same pair of shoes for years. I've got shoes in my closet older than my kids. Did you know that? Sacrifice and love are synonymous. Sacrifice means you get to rest after everybody else has rested. But it doesn't say that you don't ever get rest. And I thank God for the few good men that God's given to us. Don't you? He's given us some good men in our lives. Some really good men. We can always use a few more. How about you? How about you? How about you? Because I believe that each man in this room has the capacity and the ability to take steps forward to becoming a good man and good fathers who are learning to lean, lead, and love like God desires for you to do, and whom your families will be blessed more and more as you do. Those are the kind of men that our Father is looking for today. And let me conclude where we began in Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. That was then. What about now? May we be a church that is full of good men who are becoming good fathers, who are choosing to stand in the gap for our families and the city in which we live. Would you stand with me wherever you're at if you're able to? I want to give you a blessing. Then I want Kevin Kusunoki to come lead us in our benediction. Before I give you a blessing, if there's any way I can walk alongside you, if I can help you in your faith, if I can pray for you or your family, I can help you in anything you're going through, would you fill out that little connect card before we leave this morning? If you need some help taking a next step in what it means to be a follower of Jesus, would you indicate that on the card? If you want to talk about taking a next step and being baptized or becoming a member of this church or anything else, would you fill that out, indicate it, and give it to me? I won't buy it, I promise. I just want to walk alongside you and help you in any way I can. Won't you hold your hands out? Let me give you a blessing. This is one of the ways that we conclude our time. Know that you're loved. You're the people of God. You're the one God loves. He's your Father in heaven. No matter what your earthly father may have done or not done, your heavenly Father loves you. You're great in His eyes. He'll never give up on you. He wants you. You're chosen. You're beloved. You're needed and desired. Live well before Him this week. Encourage the men in your life. Tell them because they need it. And as you go, be a people who lean, who lead, and who love well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.